You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:30pm with Stephen Powell, Chris Pimlott and Gary Capewell in the studio. Ludlow, Taunton and Southwell are the domestic meetings during the afternoon. We've also got a good card over in Ireland from Clonmel, including the Clonmel Oil Chase, so we'll try and squeeze that in as well. We've also got Chelmsford City throughout the evening, so plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Gary Capewell. How are you, Gary?
Yeah, not too bad, Mark. Not too bad. Just trying to get the body clock back to the right sort of time, having been away last week. But we're gradually getting there. Come tomorrow, I'm sure it'll be back to where it should be after a good night's sleep on Wednesday night, hopefully.
Right, OK. For anybody who doesn't know, Gary doing his usual jaunt over to Dubai every time they request his services.
Work.
Yeah, you say work. I've seen the pictures, Gary. You're not working.
That's still classed as work.
You never come back with a tan, though?
Oh, I don't spend much time in the sun.
No.
Not really. No. I didn't. I had 6 months out there and didn't tan. I had about, on the last day when we had a couple of hours free, I had half an hour, a bit less than that, in the sun, and then I started sweltering. I thought, forget this, I'll do what I've done the rest of the time I've had free time and just sit in the warm shade with a cool beer, which was lovely.
Sounds nice.
Was. It's great to be back, though. It's great to be back.
If you could see his face as he said that, I don't believe him for a second. Good thing about being back is you can focus on the weekend action coming up at Cheltenham.
There's
absolutely superb racing taking place at Cheltenham over the 3 days of the November meeting. Got good racing over in Ireland as well over the weekend. Just a little story regards to that. Defi de Soy, we thought we might see him in the Greatwood Hurdle. They've changed their mind. Looks like we're going to see him at Ascot later on in a week's
time.
Yeah,
I find it a little bit odd, especially after what was said by sort of Frank Berry on Monday, that the horse would be ready to go in the Greatwood. And considering that, you know, JP McManus has quite a few horses with Nicky Henderson, and at the same time there's been a massive gamble on Jenkins for the same race, I suppose you could try and put two together and get five, couldn't you? But I think that's probably a little bit of a tip in itself for Jenkins, really. Couldn't have him myself at the price, and he'll want to be jumping better than he has been doing. But it's interesting that we'll be seeing him at Ascot the week after, is it, I think?
Yeah.
So we haven't got to wait too long to see him, and looking forward to seeing how he progresses this year.
Yeah, Philip Hobbs, the quote from Philip Hobbs, the trainer, is apparently they've discussed the situation, decided that the hurdle at Ascot will be more favourable for the first run of the season for a relatively young horse like him.
Yeah.
Ascot, the hurly-burly, the Greatwood might not suit.
Isn't it a conditions race, that Ascot race as well, rather than the handicap as well? Albeit, you know, and I'm not sure what Marky would have been running off, actually, but obviously if it's a level weights race, he's obviously going to make more appeal, albeit he probably will, obviously, be taking on better horses. I mean, he was due to carry 11.6, wasn't he? And if the new one didn't run, he would have had to have shouldered top weight around. So
you can
see why connections have decided to do it. But again, just looking at that race, it's $100,000 race. It's worth three times more than the county hurdle, and yet it's not going to fill, I don't think, unless they all declare for that race, which I don't think they will. Disappointing, really. It's the same for a lot of the races there this week.
Well, that puts a down on it, Gary.
Well, just some of the bigger, valuable sort of the handicaps. They should be getting more runners than they are getting.
Yeah.
For me, I mean the big race is 160,000, and I know Top Gamble's a decent horse, the likely top weight, but I don't think it's as good a race as it used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you used to get gold up horses running in that race all the time.
The new one is gonna. run, by the way, I think, in the Great Wood. They've booked Richard Johnson to ride. So okay. I think the intention is for him to go and try and show the top weight. He's 20-1 for the Great Wood. Jenkins, as Gary's mentioned, already been subject to a bit of a gamble, 4-1 market leader. Mahayed is 7-1, 10-1 London prize. And Misterton, Elgin is 12s with Nietzsche. It's then 14-1 Chesterfield, Tigris River, and William H. Bonney, and 16s or bigger for the others. If you had to have a bet now, what would you go with?
Oh dear, probably Tigris River, who is used to these types of races. For Joseph O'Brien, I think he won the Galway Hurdle, didn't he? This horse, he's on the upgrade anyway. Let's put it that way, and he'll be getting a stone off the new one. And I was impressed with him at Galway, so it'd be Tigris River for me.
Okay. The big race of the weekend, the big handicap chase that you mentioned there. Mm.
The Mackeson.
The Mackeson. I'm just trying to find the betting at the moment.
Oh, I thought you were trying to find a way of not saying the sponsors, yeah, then, to be honest.
The other bookmakers, Gold Cup. Calmore Luck is 6-1 at the top of the market for that. Tully East is 7-1, 10-1 for Ballyalton. Roma de Sanam is 10s with Starkitect, 11-1 Foxtail Hill, 12-1 Gold Present, and La Presienne and 14s or bigger for the remainder. Mm,
a few that interest me, actually. Calmore Luck, perhaps the most. He's changed yards since his last run last season. He's a Grade 1 winner, I think, a couple of seasons ago when he was with Kerry Lee. I think he could be well treated off his current mark. He's interesting. I can see why Tully East is fancied. Obviously, he won the handicap chase at the Cheltenham Festival. But people do forget that Foxtail Hill was sent off favourite for that race. Mm. And, OK, Foxtail Hill has shown his card a little bit more this season, having beaten a higher-rated horse last time out, but Nigel Twiston Davis has won this race in the past with the likes of Tipping Tim and others. I think Tipping Tim won this race anyway. If not, he won the one that they have in December. But you've got to go way back to the 90s, so I'm not sure it'll be on said list of previous winners. It might be. Let's have a look. It's not quite far enough down, actually. But he has won it with, obviously, Imperial Commander, Little Josh. And if we go further up, I think there might have been one more recent. No, they're the two that are the most recent. But Tipping Tim, I'm pretty sure, probably he certainly ran in this race a lot in the early 90s. He might have won it. If not, he's shaped with plenty of credit. He looks the ideal sort of horse for this kind of race anyway. So they'd be the two that interest me most, actually, Foxtail Hill and, of course, Kyle Morlock.
OK. Plenty of other good races coming up at Cheltenham. We'll get into those in more detail as the week progresses. Mm-hmm. Any other horses that we haven't mentioned there that you just think, wow, can't wait to see this one this weekend?
Fohina, I suppose, is the obvious one, isn't he?
Over in Ireland, yeah.
His reappearance in the Morgiana hurdle. Obviously, he's been off the track quite some time. Be interesting to see who he faces in that race, but there's a decent list of horses in. And obviously, he's been off a while, but, you know, he was so impressive winning the champion hurdle last year, a couple of years ago. Who else is in the race? Apple Shade, I'm not sure she'll run. Jessica, I think, probably will. Nichols Canyon probably wants further.
Won it last year, didn't he, Nichols Canyon?
He did, but ideally I think he'd want further.
Yeah.
I think he might have beat Fahin in this race 2 years ago.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But anyway. Obviously, Fahin's been off a while, but we're looking forward to seeing him make his return.
Yeah, hopefully he can turn up and be the Fahin, the machine, as people call him, that we used to see, because he was quite a sight on the race course. He was a good horse. So we've got that to look forward to at the weekend. All jumps focus really now, pretty much, but there is one little bit of flat news that I want to talk to you about, Gary. Enable has been crowned Cartier Horse of the Year. I suppose it was pretty much inevitable. You couldn't really give it to any other horse, could you?
This season? I think so. I think obviously her stable companion Cratson was probably the only other really contender, I should say. But these things don't really, not really too sort of nonplussed as to these kind of awards, really doesn't really bother me. But I think the right decision has been made. But everybody's entitled to their own opinion. But yeah, these things aren't too much of a fuss for me, really. But, you know, looking forward to hopefully seeing them both run against each other, fingers crossed. I think the only time they'll clash next year will probably be in the Arc, when, if they get there in the same form that they showed on their final outings of this campaign will be in for some race. Plus, there'll be some interesting three-year-olds getting plenty of weight, like obviously Nabil was this year, and Cracksman would have been if he'd have ran in the race.
Mm. Yeah, let's talk about the arc already. But yeah, next year could be absolutely superb. We'll obviously have a revisit to that in a few months' time. Let's talk about things that are closer to hand. We've got some decent racing coming up on Thursday. Gary's got two races that he has picked out for us. The first of them is the 3:30 at Ludlow. This is a handicap chase, a Class 3 event of the extended 3 miles and 1 furlong. We've got a field of 11 set to go to post for this. And I suppose the most obvious starting point here would be Miami Present, who's won 3 of his last 4 outings.
Yeah, the Heath Farm Meets handicap chase. Can't wait. Other meat suppliers are available, of course. Whether it's as good as Heath Farm Meats is open to debate. Miami Present's been in good form. Won 3 of his last 4 starts. The winner at Southall the other day has gone up £6. Wasn't much of a race, but he's an improving 7-year-old. And it's a fair way for Harriet Bethel to send one, I would have thought. All the way down to Ludlow. She's clearly more sort of northern-based. But, obviously an interesting contender. Might have just shown that its hand to the handicapper a little bit. Calvin Grove's got the ability if he's in the mood. He's never usually in the mood, which would be the concern. By the Boardwalk, leaded the run, I think, the other day, and has hit the frame quite a few times last season, so looks fairly consistent. Likewise, Royal Plaza, without threatening to get his head in front. The Happy Chappy has been winning races. Was a winner at Sedgefield last time out, albeit this is better, but he has been improving. I'm going to go for the Fergal O'Brien horse here, though. Petite Power, who did well for this yard last year, winning over both disciplines, hurdles and indeed fences, was 4th at Cheltenham on his seasonal return just under 3 weeks ago. Cheap pieces weren't on that day. They go back on tomorrow or Thursday afternoon, rather, I should say. Fergal O'Brien's horse has been in good form, so hopefully it all points to a decent run from Petite Power, so he would be the pick there in that 3:30 race.
Petite Power then for Gary in the 3:30 at Ludlow, and the next race we look at is the 3:40 at Taunton. Aiming for a quick fire 10-minute winning double here, Gary. 2 miles and, well, the extended 2 miles and 5 furlongs is the trip for this one. We've got 7 of them set to go to post here, Gary. Who do you like in this race?
Well, we'll go through them. Okay. I'll save the tip to last. I was at Market Razor when Sporting Boy blitzed the field the other day. He was turned out quite quickly after that, just 6 days later when he finished 8th at Cheltenham at a decent race. And coming back down in trip will help him. He'd be interesting if he got a soft lead. Princeton Roy, I think there is still more to come from him, but he's entitled to improve for his first run off the track for 376 days. Theatrical Star hasn't impressed with his jumping, the 11-year-old of late. Not Half Bad doesn't tend to win races very often. It's been a while since he last won, but he has been running with plenty of credit. Thea Glick is, I think, pretty much a summer jumper and has been, you know, he's just about got more sort of letters rather than numbers next to his name. The 4-year-old Monsieur Co is interesting, cost quite a few pounds from France, won over hurdles and indeed fences over in France. Won at Wincanton on his UK debut and was 4th when last seen at Warwick. Fences, handicap debut, 4-year-old allowance, makes plenty of appeal. He's actually got the same rating, or he's actually higher rated, in fact, than the horse I'm going to tip, Resolution Bay, who won a couple of times over hurdles last year. He's been running well in some decent enough sort of races this campaign. Finished 2nd at Plumpton on his chasing debut. Nicely clear of the remainder on that particular occasion. Philip Hobbs' horse is in good form, and Monsieur Co has got to prove his well-being, having been off the track 265 days. He probably will be straight enough coming from the Nichols team, but with race fitness on his side, Resolution Bay, this lightly raced 5-year-old, I think can get off the mark at the second time over fences, so he will be the pick for Richard Johnson and Philip Hobbs in that 3:40.
Resolution Bay, the pick for Gary then in the 3:40 at Taunton to go along with his selection in the 3:30, which was Petite Power. Of those two, stronger opinion, which one would you be most?
Probably just Petite Power, so that would be a better price as well, I think, so that will be the nap. Always looking for value.
Gary, the value seeker capo, we call him in the office. Thanks, Gary. It's been a pleasure.
As always.
Good luck and enjoy it on Thursday.
Will do.
Gary will be in the studio on Thursday. He'll be joined by Stephen Powell and Chris Pimlott. It's Ludlow, Taunton and Southwell in the afternoon with a little bit of Clonmel in there as well, and Chelmsford City throughout the evening. So do join them for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.